Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Master Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Monday, 23rd of August, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the island and background to that news. Sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person, 46 new cases. That's 452 active cases of COVID on the island, including 13 in Nobles, one of which is in ICU. Over half of the COVID-19 patients in Nobles have been double jabbed. If you're not registered to vote, you've got a week to sort it out. 16 and 17-year-olds can now be vaccinated, and the booster program's on its way. And we got Keys candidate Alfred Cannon at the end of the start of another flume-free week at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. First of my, Lewis Foster.
First of my. Public Health have published the first of a new weekly coronavirus report. The first issue published today shows that up until last Tuesday, more than half of the patients receiving treatment for coronavirus in Nobles Hospital had received two COVID-19 vaccines. The proposed diamond races, which were due to take place in the Isle of Wight, have reportedly been scrapped. They were expected to run annually each October, but a radio journalist based on the island says the organisers have now decided against operating the Isle of Man TT-style event. And the managing director of the Steam Packet claims a new flagship vessel will usher in a new standard of ferry travel. Construction is underway on the Manxman, which is expected to start operating in 2023. In the international news, the Taliban's warned Western forces won't be given an extension to evacuate people from Afghanistan. The UK's Defence Secretary Ben Wallace says there's hours rather than weeks left to pull people out. The US is under pressure to delay its deadline of leaving next Tuesday. Meanwhile, it's been another chaotic day at Kabul Airport, where one Afghan soldier has died after gunfire broke out. And the UK's ordered another 35 million doses of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine to be delivered in the second half of next year. It's in anticipation of a further booster programme. The US has today become the first country to fully approve the jab past its emergency status. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Lewis, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. No warnings out at sea for the next 24 hours. Ben McCree's just by the Tower of Refuge heading into Douglas Harbour. And the mountain road is clear tonight. A pleasant evening across the Isle of Man, then dry and clear after dark. Down to 14 degrees through the night. For Tuesday, Jemur, tomorrow dry with patchy low cloud and mist at first. Then sunny spells, 21 degrees Celsius tomorrow. Overnight, minimum 13 into Wednesday. Ukraine, dry and sunny and 21 degrees as we head down the hill to the Super Manx Bank Holiday weekend. Tides on the way out. Low waters, 14 minutes past 7 tonight. Sunset, 28 minutes before 9. High water, 1:15 a.m. Sunrise, 11 minutes past 6 tomorrow morning. And low water, 9 minutes to 8.
Find the latest ranges of high-tech windows, doors and conservatories at the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
46 new cases of COVID-19 have been identified in the Isle of Man today. Lewis is back with the detail.
With those 46 new cases and taking into account those who've recovered from the virus in the meantime, as of government's latest update, the number of active cases remains at 452. Meanwhile, since yesterday, one person has left hospital, meaning there are now 13 people with the virus in Nobles. One person is receiving treatment in intensive care. And since yesterday's update, 458 people have been tested for the virus at the grandstand, returning a positive result rate of 10.2%. And so far, 571 people have booked in for a swab test tomorrow.
More than half of the patients receiving treatment for coronavirus in Nobles Hospital have received both vaccines. Both jabs. The details have been published in a new weekly coronavirus report. from the Public Health Isle of Man Department. Here's Sean Cowper.
A newly launched report shows there were 15 people in hospital up to the 17th of August, with 9 having had 2 COVID jabs. 8 of those were displaying COVID symptoms, while 1 was asymptomatic. 5 patients who haven't been vaccinated were symptomatic, while 1 unvaccinated patient didn't have symptoms. The statistics also includes data from the Civil Registry showing 6 of 15 total deaths on the Isle of Man in the first 9 days of August may be linked to coronavirus. 3 are COVID-related, while a further 3 have an unconfirmed link to the virus. The number of people being tested at the grandstand has fallen over the last 4 weeks. 65% of people to test positive through a PCR swab over the last week presented themselves for testing after initially having a positive lateral flow test. However, just 11% of those going on for testing did so because of lateral flows, with UK arrivals still making up almost half of those needing a PCR test. Updates will be published on the government's coronavirus website weekly.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
A note for TT fans, one of the 2 proposed motorcycle races to take place on the Isle of Wight has now been scrapped. The Diamond Races no longer will go ahead. In the other event, the Isle of Wight Road Races are scheduled for April 2022, proposals for which are currently at the public consultation stage. Iona Stewart-Richardson's a journalist at Isle of Wight Radio.
Yeah, all I know is that a 6-week consultation is going on. Residents in the local area have already opposed it by putting out posters and things like that and turning up to parish council meetings pretty upset because they're concerned about bus routes being taken off for 3 days, 40,000 spectators outside their homes, not being able, carers not being able to make visits, people not being able to leave their home themselves, are some of the concerns. And obviously the other concern for the Isle of Wight is that you're going to get people coming down to try out the route. And obviously you'll get bikes going down at 200 miles per hour down that road, which we have no speed cameras on. And just yesterday, there was a hideous accident on that road between a motorbike and someone else pulling out at there are 2 rather lovely beaches down that road and people pull in and out all the time. And the cyclist is now in hospital with serious injuries. So it is a dangerous road.
Is that a regular occurrence?
Yeah, we get to have quite a few motorcycle accidents on the Isle of Wight. The roads in that area are pretty bad as well. You've got a lot of tight corners, a lot of bumps. It's very narrow. So I totally get why local residents would be slightly concerned by this. You know, you've got a little old lady taking out her shopping at 9 in the morning, taking out her wheelie bin. You don't really want that going past your door. So I do, yeah, there is a lot of concern about that. And of course, because it's on the Isle of Man, obviously you've got pros and cons to that because, yes, it is very successful on the Isle of Man. You've been doing it for 100 years plus, whatever. But you have had deaths and a lot of injuries. So that's another worry for people, I think.
Can you gauge opinion down there? Is it split?
It is pretty split, yes. And it is also quite difficult because you've got the elderly community who live in that area. And there's a worry that they won't find out as much information as they can because they're not on social media. They don't have the internet. But saying that, you know, the other side really wants it. Like I said, we've got a brilliant motorcycle community who are disappointed that the Diamond Race isn't going ahead. So really want this one to happen. So you've got a very mixed bag, actually.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Ben McCree left Heysham at 24 minutes past 2. She's just spinning around in the inner harbour below us here at Douglas Head. We'll be on the Lingspan fairly shortly. And departing this evening at 7.45 for Heysham, arriving there at 11:30. Overnight departure 2:15 a.m. back to Douglas around 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. High-speed craft Mananan left at a couple of minutes to 4 this afternoon. She'll be in Liverpool at about 7:15, leaving Liverpool at 8:30, back to the island at 11:15 tonight. Tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, Mananan high-speed departure is to Belfast.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
21 minutes before 6, this is Update Live from Douglas in the Isle of Man on Manx Radio. 16 and 17-year-olds can now get vaccinated. The Chester Street Hub opened its doors at the weekend for young people to get a Pfizer jab. Rhiann Evans spoke to some of the young people who were there.
Ready to get it, really. I mean, it's just waiting ages for it, though, because they're only doing 16, 17-year-olds now.
I'm feeling like the normal feeling of like nervousness of going to the doctors for a jab, but I'm more of just happy that we're finally able to have the jab.
So I wouldn't say I'm scared of COVID at all because I'm young, but it's just the inconvenience not having the vaccine.
But what were their reasons for wanting to get the vaccine? When I asked, there seemed to be a couple of running themes popping up.
To protect myself and other people, and also it makes everything a lot easier if I've had the vaccine.
Well, I mean, it's more fact like going away and stuff, it's better to have it, isn't it? And it's just safer for everyone.
I have relatives and friends who have conditions which makes the coronavirus a more of a problem to them. So I feel that the sooner I can get vaccinated and become safer, the better, because that means I can then go out and see friends, I can go out and see family members without the risk of potentially me passing it on without knowing.
Just so I can be more protected from the virus.
I'm excited because it means I can like travel.
Moving from lingering outside the front of the building to the exit, which is round the side, young people seem to filter out with ease. But what did they make of the process?
It was fine. I didn't even feel anything, to be honest.
It was fine. It didn't actually hurt like I expected.
It was great, yeah. They were really, really lovely and so efficient. So I was expecting to be like queuing for hours, but it was fine. And yeah, they were so lovely and it didn't hurt at all either, so.
How were you feeling before going in?
I was a little bit nervous, but I think I was more nervous about like not knowing where to go and where to sit and what to do rather than like the actual jab, so. But it's fine, yeah.
It was really fast and painless, and I really recommend it.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
19 minutes before 6, Revolut is set to offer customers the option to access salary they've accrued in advance of payday. The scheme will sign up employers, and the fintech firm will charge a flat fee of £1.50 per transaction. Revolut says it's designed to help people stay on top of bills and avoid debt by drawing down money as they earn it. Salary advance schemes are unregulated in the UK, but the UK Financial Watch Dog has warned they could encourage people to live hand to mouth and risk leading to a cycle of repeat advances. Well, the price of Bitcoin's risen above $50,000 for the first time in 3 months as the cryptocurrency continues to recover from that deep slump. Bitcoin fell sharply in May after a crackdown in China and Elon Musk Tesla's decision not to accept it as payment. However, investor sentiment's improving as mainstream financial companies are starting to use Bitcoin. Bitcoin's now up 81%. Since January, when it was trading at just $27,700. Today, Monday, it climbed almost 3% to $50,266.90, while Ether, Ethereum, another popular digital coin, was up by more than 4% at $3,367.51. This came as PayPal said it was allowing customers in the UK to buy, sell and hold Bitcoin and other digital currencies as it expands its crypto services outside the US for the first time.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crook Oil.
UK and European stock markets closed higher, rebounding from their worst week since February. US stocks gained as investors looked ahead to a key event from the Fed later this week. Oil priced higher, with gains driven by a weaker dollar. Gold rose, with lingering concerns over possible roadblocks to global economic growth rising from COVID-19. Delta virus cases. In corporate news, Sainsbury's shares rallied following a report the US private equity firm Apollo is considering a bid to buy it. On the downside, BT Group was lower as it emerged that City Fibre is set to secure a £500 million investment from a consortium, including Abu Dhabi's Sovereign Wealth Fund, to help drive its ultra-fast broadband rollout. And the numbers now at the close in London. Ramsey Crookall reporting. The FTSE 100 up 0.3% at 7,109. The DAX in Frankfurt was up almost 0.4% at 15,868 at the close. In New York City at the moment, the Dow Jones Industrial up just over 0.75% at 35,394. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 1.33% at 14,909. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up almost 1% at 4,484. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling currently worth $1 37.1 cents, €1 16.8 cents, and 20 South African rand 82.2 cents. And in commodities, gold up just over almost 1.33% at $1,804 per troy ounce. A barrel of Brent crude oil up over 3% at $68.54.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsay Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
£5.45 from Douglas in the Isle of Man, Manx Radio, and the start of a COVID booster jab programme on the Isle of Man, supplementing the double dose already given, will depend on the position in the UK. The Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisations is expected to put out its proposed programme next month, September. The Isle of Man is watching what they do. John Moss.
This moving forward to another stage in the COVID battle will take some organising. How do you go about inviting people to come forward for a jab? How much vaccine's needed? Getting the hubs going and staffing, etc., etc. There's a sense of urgency because although the JVCI say there's good evidence a full course of COVID-19 vaccination will provide good protection for 6 months against severe disease and possibly longer in some cases, as the House of Stark noted, winter is coming. Now, during last winter, flu was very limited in the UK because of things like social distancing. Masks meant we weren't sneezing on each other. The same thing in the Isle of Man, of course, but that means it's expected there will be a lower level of population immunity for flu. Mathematical modelling indicates it's possible there could be a 50% increase this time, and that's adding pressure on a hospital system already stretched. It means the flu vaccine may step up in importance. It's noted by the UK, it's paramount that as many eligible adults as possible take up the offer of a vaccination for flu. End quote. But should there perhaps be an interval between getting the flu vaccination and a COVID vaccination? More data is coming out all the time, and the JVCI says more information on the duration of the protection provided by the COVID vaccination may arrive before a September booster rollout gets underway. They envisage two stages for the boosters, starting with adults aged 16 and over who are immunosuppressed, whose immunity system isn't strong, then on to older adults in care homes, adults 70 and over, and frontline health and social care workers. So we think September for the start of those boosters, but the island will be watching what the UK and the JVCI plump for.
Manx Radio Sport.
Mastermind Dave Moore.
A 2-2 draw at the weekend for FC Isle of Man away at Cheadleheath Nomads leaves the team languishing in 14th place in the North West Counties League Division 1 South. They picked up 6 points from 4 matches. However, they do have 2 games in hand on all but 2 of the sides in the league. It was a great weekend for Peter Hickman in the British Superbike Championship at Cadwell Park in Lincolnshire. The Isle of Man TT outright lap record holder took 2 wins and a 2nd place to move into 5th in the championship.
The weekend was pretty awesome, to be honest. It was nearly a perfect weekend. 2 race wins and nearly a 3rd race win. Unfortunately, I had a big slide through turn 1 on the last lap, which was unfortunate. But, you know, showing that we had the pace, and not only just the pace, but actually, you know, winning races and quite convincingly in the dry is, it's a fantastic weekend for myself and FHO Racing BMW team and BMW's first ever win at Cadwell Park even as well. So, yeah, awesome weekend.
Hickman began the weekend by claiming pole position and would also go on to set a new lap record for Cadwell Park. His great TT rival, Dean Harrison, didn't fare so well, recovering from a massive crash which meant his bike had to be rebuilt. Local show jumper Sinead Cox was also a winner this weekend, finishing top of the 1.05-metre class at Bolsworth near Chester. The teenager also finished 10th in the 1.25 category.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Some delays coming into Ronald's Way tonight. The 5:25 Loganair from Manchester won't be in until 6:30. The EasyJet from Bristol due in 5 minutes early, got in at 5:30. The 6:15 EasyJet from Liverpool is on time. Departures. The Loganair to Liverpool, the patron transfer plane, is delayed from 6 o'clock tonight till 7 o'clock, so we'll be late coming back. The 5:06 EasyJet to Bristol, on time. 6:45 EasyJet to Liverpool will be on time, but the patient transfer return plane, instead of being in at 5 to 8, will now be 9 o'clock. On the roads, temporary lights on the old Castletown Road by the White Hoe, 24 hours a day. They're laying cable there between Douglas and Cueg. Around the Braid, 30 mile an hour speed limit between the Braid and the Cool. Also on the Glen Darrock Road between the Braid and Glen Vine for line painting work. Druidale Road's closed till the week on Friday for resurfacing work. Those temporary lights should be wrapping up by the end of September. Crikey, it's going on forever in Kirkmichael through the village for the work on the pavements. Temporary lights at Duck Street in Ballabeg for the installation of new speed watch signs. Richmond Hill still got the normal 30 mile an hour speed limit. Ballasalla for the new bypass, temporary lights. Braddon Road's one way northbound around Braddon Bridge, Ballafletcher Road. The Strang Road's one way from the Strang roundabout to the main A1 at Union Mills. Glen Road in Laxey closed till the 13th of October for that new river wall too. And in Willesden, Snaefell Road is still closed.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with Keyside. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
In the general election on September 23rd, Alfred Cannon is standing in the constituency of Aaron Michael. He's an independent, and up against him, Tim Baker, Phil Corkill, Tim Johnston, Duncan Livingston, Liberal Vannin's Paul Weatherall, and Madeline Westall. As a leading politician, Mr. Cannon, particularly in the last 5 years, John Moss asked him, would he like to be elected chief minister in the next administration?
I think the critical issue for me is, first of all, to conduct a successful campaign, to make sure that I have engaged as much as possible, as widely as possible, as broadly as possible across my constituency, clearly to win an appropriate vote. And then afterwards, you know, I will hope to be engaging with like-minded politicians in terms of developing a plan for the island. And I think that's the critical issue here, is that last time we did a programme for government, when that programme was put together, it was uncosted. You know, I think we can make significant improvements this time by bringing together a proper plan, a five-year plan, a costed five-year plan, in order that we can identify where our priorities are, where the expenditure needs to go to tackle the big issues of the day.
Interesting you're using the word we, because 5 years, of course, 5 years ago, you were an outspoken backbencher. And then you decided to move, if I can put it this way, into the tent. It must have been a fairly big decision. What prompted you to do that, to accept office?
Well, I think the timing was right. I had spent the previous 5 years on the backbenchers, but of course ministerial positions are at the behest of the chief minister. I wasn't offered a ministerial post during that time.
Was the person who was chief minister make a difference to your decision?
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, I think that, you know, you have to put together a collegiate body that will broadly share the same values, broadly share the same objectives in terms of what needs to be delivered for the island. And you know, the person who is leading that, put at the forefront of that, needs to be the right person to draw things together. I think, you know, I've always taken a very sort of collegiate approach. I recognise now I've got enough experience to let you have to listen to other people's voices. You have to take those into account. You shouldn't necessarily just always settle for consensus, but a lot of the time you have to pull everybody's opinions together to find the right way forward.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio General Election mini site at manxradio.com.
Well, just over 4 weeks until the Manx population decides the political future on the 23rd of September. To have your say on the day, you need to be registered by the 2nd of September. William King.
If you're over 16, you've lived on the Isle of Man for at least a year, and you're not subject to any legal incapacity to vote, you're eligible to register. It can be done online. To find out if you're already on the register, you can visit local authority offices, the General Registry, the Cabinet Office or the Tynwald Library, or you can also email elections@gov.im. If you're not registered by the 2nd of September, you won't be able to vote on the 23rd. Former MHK and former government minister Phil Gorn says it's important to cast your vote on election day.
Votes can be won and lost, as I know to my cost, with a fairly small number of votes. Politicians make decisions about your future, very significant decisions, but if you don't vote for them, you make it more difficult for your voice to be heard.
Sarah Crisford is head of social sciences and a teacher of A-level politics at St Ninian's High School. She says young people should make sure their voices are heard on the 23rd of September.
I think students are, they are engaged in politics, and the more they get involved with it, the more politicians will speak to them as well, because obviously the politicians will see the benefit of engaging with younger voters, and then younger voters will think, oh, these people are interested in me, and so it becomes a mutually beneficial relationship.
A reminder, the deadline to register is the 2nd of September, and you can find all the details on the Manx Radio election website under Info for Voters.
16 and 17-year-olds are getting the anti-COVID jab on the Isle of Man. We've heard what they think. What about mum and dad?
Very proud. I think everyone should get a vaccine. And actually, we're talking about how great to see so many kids that turned up.
Yeah, there's been loads. I mean, are most parents supportive of the vaccine, or do you know of some that are a bit apprehensive for their kids to get it?
I don't know. In my circle of friends and parents, not even one is apprehensive. Everyone's 100% behind it.
Yes, definitely. And I actually had COVID as well and didn't have any side effects. Wasn't poorly, so I'm really pleased I had the vaccination.
He didn't say it. He didn't seem nervous about the injection or anything. He was more, he wants to get it done, because he does a bit of travelling with sports and stuff. So, I'm not sure, will it make any difference, because it's only one vaccine and you need two for the travelling thing? They haven't said that as to whether it will change anything.
So do you have plans to sort of travel once everyone's 2+2?
Not far, but at least to the UK or Ireland, yeah.
And how do you feel about your son getting the jab today?
Oh, absolutely fine, no problem at all.
I feel that's very good, so we can stop the isolation bit when we travel.
Well, I'm just really pleased that, Maeve's the last of our family to be vaccinated, so we're all vaccinated now. Woohoo!
That's it for Update tonight. Compiled from resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Lewis Foster, producer William King tonight. The stories you've heard and many, many more are available at manxradio.com, the web's biggest source of Manx videos, and also via the Manx Radio app, which is free at your app store. Remember to like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. After the news at 6 o'clock tonight, Agenda, hosted by Phil Gorn, and then The Greatest Hits on Earth with Mike Reynolds.